I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Every weekday, 9 to 11 o'clock, I put up a little safe space here for independent thinkers. You're not going to get real partisan radio here if you are a Democrat or just a Trump hater. This show could cause you some level of uncomfortable feeling. Kind of ditto if you are a lifelong Republican cheerleader who thinks that Trump is the savior of everything. This show it might be a little uncomfortable for you, but, you know, they say that without some level of being uncomfortable, we cannot grow. Isn't this big advice now? Put yourself into situations that you're uncomfortable with. I know that works for me sometimes. If you stay in your comfort zone, you learn nothing. You achieve nothing. You always have to be challenging yourself. So here, for a couple of hours a day, I get you to try to challenge maybe some of the things you've believed, some of you for decades and decades. I went through the process, too. It's really not that painful. Kind of freeing to not be beholden to any party or politician. Today's Wednesday. Next hour, we will take a break from the political side of things, but not the current event side of things. We've got coronavirus stuff to talk about next hour in regards to health when I do my Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use segment. I've got one very seemingly common denominator of the people that I see that are the hardest stricken victims of coronavirus. We'll talk about that for a little bit. And then I've got just what is must-hear information about the vaccine issue. And I am bound to determine to try to get a little bit ahead of this and try to at least give everybody the information you want. If you're pro-vaccine, if you're for safe vaccine, so you question the efficacy of it, it doesn't matter what part of the spectrum you're on when it comes to the vaccination issue. We should all want as much information as possible. And so we'll spend a pretty good chunk of time next hour talking about that. And then I've got a couple of little topics that I may or may not have time to get to, but we'll do that next hour. On this hour, I got to tell you, this is almost a funny story. It's funny to a libertarian, and I'll tell you why. As a libertarian, one of the things that wakes you up to kind of pulling yourself out of one of this two-party system is you start to realize, particularly for me, as I got older, as you are younger, you know, you think that adults have got it all figured out, right? You know, you're a kid and your parents know so much more than you, and, you know, they're living their lives and making money and making decisions and buying houses and cars. You just kind of feel like, well, you know, as an adult, you figure it all out. As a kid, you've got to be subservient to these parents because they've got it all figured out. The crazy thing is when you get to be an adult and you look at some of the other people who have achieved adulthood, doesn't it kind of strike you at some point? I don't know when it was for me. Maybe in my 30s. I think even in my 20s, I still didn't really feel like an adult, because there were still so many people that I was interacting with, and my parents were still working, and it just felt like, well, you achieve that at, you know, kind of middle age is where you all figured out. But as you approach middle age, you start looking around and you go, oh my gosh, there are really not smart 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds, right? Well, as a libertarian, as I got older, I started looking, and as a child, and when I was in my, you know, late teens and early 20s and was really, really enamored with the Republican Party, it was because I thought they had really figured it out. They were kind of the ones that were right, and they seemed so official, and they wore these nice suits, and they drove around in limousines, and, you know, you just kind of felt like, well, these are the people who should be leading us. But as you get older, you go, oh, wait a second. These are massively flawed human beings. And it's not just accidental flaws. A lot of them are horribly corrupt. They are narcissistic, sociopathic. They are driven by their own self-interest and greed. And when you come to that realization, it doesn't matter which party you're in at the time, but if you ever stop to think about who we're allowing to lead us, it's really kind of a clarifying moment where you just say, holy cow, I want almost no government. I mean, I'm bordering on anarchy at this point. And anarchy really gets a bad name because anarchy is attached to, you know, hoodie-wearing protesters at the G7 that are throwing smoke bombs and Molotov cocktails. That's not the kind of anarchy I'm talking about. But when you realize that these people who have risen to these very powerful positions in this country are really not good people, then to me, the only logical thing was not, oh, but if there were just more Republican self-aggrandizing people, everything would be great. I mean, I couldn't wrap my mind around, oh, I want more of these people in charge of me. I saw them passing more laws. The more I realized that our political class is flawed and self-interested and corrupt and not one of us, and they keep passing more laws and more registration and more spending. I didn't really know what other conclusion to come to except, you know what? I don't want these people to have any power whatsoever. And I don't know anybody who looks at the political class in Washington, D.C. and sees a shining beacon of intelligence and moral authority. Do you? Do you believe that these people are all up in Washington, D.C. fighting for the American people and they love you? You. I'm not talking about what they pander to when they talk to big crowds. I mean, if you're going to send your $25 or $50 to one of the political parties, is it because you think that they truly love you and you want them to do something for you? In spite of all the evidence of the last 40, 50, 60 years of seeing that the political class has failed the American people, but you believe that if your party just gets a few more seats, that'll all be fixed. It's kind of like education. Education, you know, when they were talking about the fully funding the adequate Mississippi Adequate Funding Program, whatever, MAEP or whatever it was. The whole argument this was based on was essentially that, yeah, we know we've got big problems in education, but if we just get 10% more, it'll all be fixed. I mean, obviously that's absurd, right? Well, that's the whole political system. Everybody thinks if you just get 10% more of our party gets in, everything will be fixed then. That's what we're really going for. We got to take back the House. We got to keep the Senate. We got to win all of these different machinations. And that was what turned me into a libertarian. It was becoming an adult and realizing we are ruled by an awfully flawed group of human beings. And I go off on that little rant to bring this up in the fight against the evil, horrible, existential threat, COVID-19 threat we face now. Check this out. Guess who we've been following when it comes to the COVID-19? Did you see this story about Neil Ferguson? He's the guy who predicted the 2.2 million deaths in the United States. Listen to this. Professor Neil Ferguson, whose dire coronavirus predictions prompted worldwide lockdown measures still in place, broke his own advice on the need for strict social distancing to hook up with his married lover, according to the Telegraph over in London. On at least two occasions, Antonia Statz, 38, traveled across London from her home in the south of the capital to spend time with the government scientist nicknamed Professor Lockdown. The 51-year-old had only just finished a two-week spell of self-isolating after testing positive for coronavirus. Professor Ferguson told the Telegraph, quote, "I accept I made an error of judgment and took the wrong course of action. I have therefore stepped back from my involvement in SAGE, the government's scientific advisory group for emergencies." He says, "I acted in the belief that I was immune, having tested positive for coronavirus and completely isolated myself for almost 2 weeks after developing symptoms," he said, adding, "I deeply regret any undermining of the clear message around the continued need for social distancing to control this devastating pandemic. The government guidance is unequivocal, and there is and is there to protect us all. So the guy who set this whole train in motion, of course, ignored his own advice because he wanted to get a little something-something on the side with his married lover. Now, what's funny about that, to show you again, and think of the power that this guy has had over all of our lives. I'm talking worldwide, but particularly here in America. This is the guy. I spend a lot of time on this show talking about the corruption of politicians. It's across the board in the scientific community. Fauci, corrupt. Burks, corrupt. Global warming, leading the charge, people. That was certainly was ineloquent. They're all corrupt. Here's the woman that this guy was with. Just to show you, not only is he a raging hypocrite. And see, the thing is in this strata of people, the ones that we elevate in our political classes, in our scientific community, in our health authorities, see, they believe that they are above the rules that they set for the rest of us. They're not going to participate in it because it's of no consequence, the disruption to your life that they cause, because they stand on this moral high ground of we're trying to save lives. But they don't care about that. They derive power from the micromanagement of society. Here's the woman he was with, Stats, S-T-A-A-T-S, a left-wing campaigner, visited again on April 8th, despite telling friends that she thought her husband might have come down with coronavirus. She and her husband lived together with their two children in a 1.9 million pound home. And that's the British pound, not, I wasn't giving you the weight of the home. But are understood to be in an open marriage. She's told friends about her relationship with Professor Ferguson, but does not believe their actions to be hypocritical because she considers the households to be one. I mean, I guess that's a pretty good defense. Open a restaurant and say, I consider all these people who come to visit my restaurant to be my family. How about that? They've set the bar for what our excuse is. Now, this was particularly enraging in this story. Here's one of the sirs, the royalty of Great Britain. Quote, he has breached his own guidelines, and for an intelligent man, I find that very hard to believe. It risks undermining the government's lockdown message, said Sir Ian Duncan Smith. That's because they don't abide by the same rules. Understand, your political class, the class of royalty that we have set up here in the United States, in Great Britain, across the scientific community, see, the rules don't apply to them. It's not peculiar. It's the way it is across the board. Meanwhile, over 9,000 fines have been issued to quarantine violators in England and Wales during the lockdown, while Scotland's chief medical officer, Dr. Catherine Calderwood, made two trips to her second home during the lockdown, resulting in her resignation. And this is like the governor of Illinois, whose wife, she took down to Florida a couple times. And he said he was indignant that anybody would even ask anything about his family, his policies. I don't know. If you know another alternative to libertarianism, let me know. Let me know what the perfect world is where we lift these great leaders up above us and they somehow turn out to be moral, magnanimous, unselfish people. Which party is that? Is that the Democratic Party with people like Joe Biden clinging to power with his death grip? Hillary Clinton? Who is it? Who is it that is so pure and cares only about us and not of themselves? What party combination is that? It doesn't exist. And I got to tell you, these stories, and I'm not done. Woo-hoo! When I get back, I've got a couple of stories here. I'm not the first one to call for a civil war or predict a civil war. This has been out there for a long time, right? you know, I travel mostly in conservative circles. There's a lot of Obama's not going to leave. Obama's going to do martial law this or martial law that. People said that under George Bush. There's all these different suspicions, civil war this, civil war that. We're going to start a race war, you know, after Ferguson. Is going to be some kind of a race. I mean, there's just there all these predictions. I never really see that. I take 2 hours a day to try to tell people, hey, you shouldn't be hating on your liberal neighbor or you shouldn't be hating on your Trump-loving cousin. Y'all should understand you're in the same boat, but you're both worshiping people that are they have nothing to do with you. They're not. You're not even in the same class. You're barely the same species as the ruling classes in all of these countries, but in ours. You're so far removed from power, yet you fight for it like it's a part of you. But I got to tell you, this coronavirus stuff, the reaction of governments, whether they are federal, state, or local, may be, should this coronavirus thing keep going or we get this second wave, which I see them really trying to set up right now, this may kick off the Civil War. And I don't think I've ever said that on this air, but I got to tell you, I'm fighting mad about it. I got a couple of stories to tell you. And it's a teachable moment, too. I'm going to try one more time to teach you a little something to be careful what you support. Because when the stuff hits the fan, you've already created this monster that now you may have to go to war with. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Yeah, I've said often on this show, what I feel like doing is reaching through speakers and headphones and computer monitors, wherever you're listening to WYAB today, and just grabbing you by the shoulders and shaking you until you wake up. It's like cult deprogramming. We've accepted this system. We've been boiled in it like the frog, the story of the frog. And now it's just normal. I'm telling you, it's stunning to me. So I just covered the story. The entire world, and particularly the United States, tens of millions of Americans' lives have been completely disrupted and many times catastrophically affected by a swinger dude hooking up with a married woman just because with a flawed model on this coronavirus, okay? There was no science to this. It was a model. Obviously, crap input got us crap output. This guy is running around town hooking up with a married woman against his own rules that he's imposed on the rest of us. This is the guy. He's like the tip of the spear. And then you go to Fauci. Don't get me started on Fauci. Don't have time today. We'll get to him. And so what happens? So this swinger with his flawed models locks the whole world down. And then it's up to the authorities to enforce the swingers' lockdown, right? And this is what I say. You know, they say there's going to be a civil war for this or a civil war for that. I don't get involved in that talk when that happens because I think it's ridiculous. And I think if you were taking to social media and calling somebody a libtard or a Trumptard, then you're basically a six-year-old. Because that's the last time I think I used the term tard on something. But that's where our political discourse is. Civil War is not going to start over political disagreements, just in the abstract. And both of you, both sides of you, the right and the left, you're all serving masters. They don't give a crap about you. But knock yourselves out. Go to Twitter. Call people names. Do whatever. That's going to really serve you well. The Federal Reserve is pumping trillions of dollars into Wall Street. They don't really care what you're fighting about. They're happy to see you fighting with your neighbor while they back up the truck. But what is going to start a civil war is not going to be political disagreements. It's going to be robbing the American people of their ability to make a living. And this should be a teachable moment to you. A SWAT team in the western Texas town of Odessa arrested a bar owner and a group of armed men conducting a peaceful protest against the coronavirus lockdown on Monday after police say they violated the state's order to remain closed. Again, this is an order that originated with a guy, with some pervert swinger hooking up with a married woman in England that gave us a flawed model, and now a SWAT team is enforcing it. According to Everything Lubbock, Gabrielle Ellison, owner of Big Daddy Zane's, said the Ector County Sheriff's Office told her it was a fine to hold the protest as long as men with guns aren't seen. Ector County Sheriff's Office told her it was fine to hold the protest as long as men with guns aren't seen on the property. She claims that out of respect for law enforcement, men were confined to the back, which is her private property. In response to this, the Ector County Sheriff's Office showed up in an MRAP. You should see this armored vehicle with a mounted gun on top of it, them announcing through a loudspeaker as they went through and arrested everybody. And so this is the teachable moment, too, to all you conservatives who have been out there cheering for the militarization of the police with all this military hardware. Well, what you gonna do? What you gonna do, and hopefully here in central Mississippi or wherever anyone's living, might be listening to this podcast, hopefully you've got a good sheriff who will not take the side of these horrible lockdowns. But if they do, you have armed them to the teeth through this subservience to law and order. And you say, well, gosh, Mike, who could have seen a coronavirus coming? You know who? I hate to keep saying it, but libertarians have been sounding the alarm over this militarization of the police. You've got one talk show host that you listen to or have ever heard that has been talking about the difference between SWAT raids of the early 1980s, which was like 300 a year, and now it's like 85,000 a year. And people so in love with law and order have cheered that. Well, the guy had 2 pounds of marijuana. We had to bust in his door at 4:30 in the morning and held a man's wife and children at gunpoint on the floor while we confiscated the 2 pounds of a plant that he had. You cheered for that. Yeah, this is one of those scenarios where they say, well, I didn't say anything when they did that because I don't use marijuana, so they can do whatever they want to the druggies out there. But when they come for you, who's left to speak up for you? Business owners? People who want to go about your life and society, and you think this coronavirus should not have closed down the country? What are you going to do now? You've given the police military-grade hardware. MRAPs. The one funny thing about this story, I got to say, I love finding something funny. Apparently, in response to the pictures that went out on this thing, a couple of the sheriff's deputies are big boys. Their bulletproof vests barely cover their chest. They're so large and obese. And apparently, a now-deleted GoFundMe was set up to buy a treadmill for the portly cops in the Ector County Sheriff's Department. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Thank you so much, man. I am a big fan of the show.
No, thank you.
Yes, the militarization of the police is a very, very bad idea.
It's a disaster. And, you know, I've talked to people in military before and heard interviews with people. When you strap on military style gear, you feel different. You know, even a guy who's not prone towards, you know, kicking in doors and that kind of thing, when you get in that environment and in an armored vehicle and you're rolling up on American citizens, you just feel different. And a lot of these guys are ex-military, which is great. That's fine. I want them to come back and be productive members of society. But man, this is such a bad trend. And now we're seeing the average American could be on the receiving end of this stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, I've spoken out against this, and my family, especially family and friends, see me as, you know, somebody that's speaking against authority, and
right.
I shouldn't be doing it, and all this stuff. Well, the thing is, I am prior military, and these guys that you see breaking the law and breaking their oath and constitution have taken the same oath I have, which is protect against both foreign and domestic threat.
Right.
If policy breaks the constitution, they shouldn't be enforcing it. But like she, they're enforcing the policy of the department, and it is getting on to everybody.
Yeah, and as I'm saying, I mean, I'm trying to do this in a good, you know, I'm trying to paint this picture as accurately as I can, or as, you know, I'm trying to timeline this show. So my first story is about the fact that the guy who started this lockdown in the first place is some pervert swinger hooking up with a married woman in England, ignoring his own advice with flawed models that set off this whole chain of events. And now you've got Odessa Sheriff's Department rolling up on American citizens with an MRAP. I mean, yeah, this is how this stuff flows through. I mean, that's how insane it is. And there's no retreating from this, if you're noticing. You know, nobody's saying, well, we made a mistake. You know, this coronavirus wasn't as bad. They're talking about a second wave. So we better wrap our minds, and the police better wrap their minds around what they're going to enforce. Luckily, a lot of sheriffs I've seen have said, we're not going to enforce this stuff, to their great credit.
That is really good. And talking about Texas, I know Odessa has come up a few times. I know that's the example you're using, but also another major one is the Houston Police Department has been on the radar for a very, very long time. And, you know, they've done all sorts of really wrong and immoral, shady stuff.
Yeah, well, we've got to break this idea, because laws are made by very flawed men. And just because you are tasked with enforcing bad laws does not make it a good practice. And the other thing I can't stand is people say, well, you just submit to whatever's done and you can address it later in a court. That's not what America's founded on. America's founded on freedom. We should be fighting for our freedom at every turn.
Correct.
Hey, man. Well, great. Right. Man, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
No problem.
All right. Bye. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Look, there's two ways this can go. Let's just say the rosy picture comes, that we had this lockdown and they just completely retreat from it and everything goes back to completely normal. Well, we won't be forced to fight for our rights. Do you believe that's going to happen? Do you believe that they have done this soft martial law on us for the last 6 weeks, but they'll never do that again? This was just a one-off. They realized their mistake, and this won't happen again. I don't see that happening. I'll be honest with you. I see second wave coming. I see the vaccine coming. I see draconian measures of cashless society. I mean, there's no telling where they will try to take this thing. And hopefully I am dead wrong and I'm an alarmist. I try not to be one of, you know, just a huge alarmist. As I say, I haven't talked about a civil war before because I think that, you know, politics, we're just all wound up. And to be honest with you, most people are so much more bark than they are bite. People always talking about, well, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to put up with that. And I'll bring it up all the time. Well, why do you let them take a third of your income every single year and then just waste it? The amount of money that you pay your entire lifetime in federal taxes is nothing to the government. They waste that amount of money every hour in single departments, yet you sacrifice your whole life to send it up to Washington, D.C. So pardon me if I don't think you're going to get real tough on X, Y, or Z. We can't even fix our schools. I mean, look, people in this country are not prone to any level of action. So I don't think a civil war, I've never really entertained that idea. But I got to tell you, when I see a SWAT team rolling up on a bar because they've got a peaceful protest about a horrible lockdown for nothing in the middle of Texas, that's concerning to me. And for those people out there who say, oh, you're so anti-police. Look, I'm anti-drug war like I'm anti-war. It puts our police officers and our soldiers in positions they should never be in. Enforcing ridiculous laws. The drug war is not winnable. They haven't won it. I can't imagine being a cop on the street, having day in and day out to risk your life to go grab a few bags of cocaine, realizing that there's a million more bags of cocaine out there. And the dealer that you just busted will be replaced before you get back to the station. And the drug lord that the DEA spends 5 years tracking, tracing, spending millions of dollars, having informants killed and officers murdered, that drug lord is replaced in a week after a bloody drug war between two competing cartels. It's insanity. I'm not anti-police, but here's the thing. Politicians and policymakers and the technocrats in Washington, D.C., and really politicians across the board, they're cowards. Now, why do I say they're cowards? They're cowards because what they do is they put on their suits and their little American flag lapel pins, and they go and they sit in an air-conditioned room, and they pass these laws. And if they're unpopular, what they do is they look at the police and they go, all right, now go enforce it. Or they sit in some think tank somewhere and decide we need to start a war in Syria. Lindsey Graham's not going to go fight. What do you think he's going to lock and load and head over there to help the cause he's so committed to? Same with Venezuela. You think any of these people out of Washington, D.C. are going to leave their cushy lairs? No, they're going to look down at the American soldier and go, okay, we've come up with an idea. Go fight for it. And in this particular case, I'm telling you in this show, the guy that kicked this whole thing off, he's a perverted wife swapper over in England with a flawed model that has spawned Texas SWAT teams to go after peacefully protesting American citizens. And woo, don't get me started on the judiciary. Here's a story. This is a woman, a real troublemaker here in America. She dared to open her hair salon. And here's the judge lecturing her. What's beautiful is her response to it.
Judge, I would like to say that I have much respect.
Oh, hold on. We got to the wrong one. Let's let the judge pontificate first. He's gonna scold this woman for daring to open her business.
That you now see the error of your ways.
Oh.
And understand that the society cannot function where one's own belief in a concept of liberty permits you to flaunt your disdain for the rulings of duly elected officials.
Oh, how dare you think that your idea of liberty lets you flaunt what duly elected officials have decreed from on high. Oh. This is America right now. I'll let this guy keep going.
That you owe an apology to the elected officials whom you disrespected.
Oh, my God. My head's about to explode. You owe an apology to the elected officials that you disrespected by opening your business.
By flagrantly ignoring and in one case defiling their orders, which you now know obviously apply to you. That you understand that the proper way in which in an ordered society to engage concerns which you may have had is to hire a lawyer and advocate for change, an exception or an amendment to laws that you find offensive. That you publicly state that this is the way that citizens in the state should behave.
Ah, there we go. I love that. Citizens. Are you a good citizen or a bad citizen? We're going to give you a score. In China, they call it a social credit score. If you're a good citizen, maybe we'll let you ride a bus. If you're an approved citizen, we've been looking at the data on your phone, and it appears that you're not doing everything that we like, so no airplane travel to you for you until we see a little bit of improvement in your behavior and you become a better citizen. Holy cow, I think he's got a little bit more here.
And that you represent to this court that you will today cease operation of your salon and not reopen until after further orders of this of the government permit you to do so.
This is the United States. This is a trial for a woman for opening her salon. We're not talking about a drug gang leader, right? No. We're talking about a woman who wants to open a hair salon in the United States of America. And the judge tells her she needs to genuflect and apologize to the bureaucrats and politicians that she is offended by defying their order. Now, this is the kind of woman, I wonder if she's dating anybody. I might try to reach out. This is the kind of woman America needs more of.
For this court and laws. And that I've never been in this position before, and it's not some place that I want to be. But I have to disagree with you, sir, when you say that I'm selfish, because feeding my kids is not selfish. I have hairstylists that are going hungry because they'd rather feed their kids. So, sir, if you think the law is more important than kids getting fed, then please go ahead with your decision, but I am not going to shut the salon.
Cheers, 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 cheers for this woman. Now, see, the judge doesn't care. He's getting him a government check where all the bureaucrats get paid from. You know why? Because we've allowed the government to metastasize over the last 40 or 50 years. Oh, you love your law and order. We're going to see how much you like it now if the word comes down for this state to shut down again. And the poor police are forced out to enforce these laws against American citizens that are doing nothing more than seeking to provide a good or a service, not harming anybody. And again, here's the beauty of the United States. For anybody out there who says, well, we're opening too soon, they're just trying to safeguard public health. Here's the beauty of America. We don't have a system that will force you out of your home if you want to stay in your home. I encourage you and support you, and I do not question that. That is your choice. I am not standing in judgment of you. I'm not scared of this virus because I've done the work health-wise that gives me a lot of confidence to go out in public, always knowing that maybe I haven't done the right work and maybe it gets me and maybe it takes me down, willing to take the risk. But in America, they can't force you out of your home to engage in commerce, so you're golden. Do what you do. You do you. But this is a court trial. Let me see. I believe this woman got 7 days in jail. 7 days in jail for opening a hair salon in the United States because she would not apologize. See, if she groveled, which is what the vast majority of Americans do all the time, right? Why do you pay your taxes? I don't want any problems with the IRS. They're mean. So if you grovel and offer up a third of your income every year, you're okay. This is why I say I haven't been worried about a civil war, because America's pretty impotent. I mean, no offense. I do sound a little judgy here, but I mean, come on. Out of my cold, dead hands. We're real big on the Second Amendment, but we don't have a problem with them stealing our income. And now we see a whole nation of people lined up at food banks because we can't save a nickel because they strip us of all of our wealth through taxation our entire lives. Then when a crisis comes, we can't handle it. We gotta beg the government with our hands cupped. Can you please bail us out? How $1,200? Just $1,200? I mean, I don't know why it was $1,200, not $1,400. Why wasn't it $1,100? Why wasn't it $1,500? Why wasn't it $1,800? Oh, the authorities, you know, the politicians, they decided $1,200 was good enough for you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. They strip you of $9,000 a year in taxation, give you $1,200 once in a lifetime, and we put up with it. So pardon me if I have not thought that there would be a civil war, but I got to tell you. If they get between us and even being able to open a business. I don't know, all the universal basic income in the world may fix that. I got to tell you, there's a good possibility that maybe Americans can be just bought off with, $2,000 a month, a UBI? There's a possibility of that. I never underestimate the passivity of the American people. But there you go. 7 days in jail for opening a hair salon in the United States. A SWAT team called out with a military vehicle with a mounted gun on the top of it. Two overweight sheriff's deputies. Let me see if I've got that picture here. Were they even wearing masks? Let me see if I... They're not even wearing masks. The sheriff's deputy, the overweight, obese sheriff's deputies who went to go, and they're armed in their bulletproof vests with their automatic weapons, are overweight, which makes you susceptible to coronavirus. They're not even wearing masks, and they're going to round up peaceful protesting Americans. 2020, mark it down. This is not good.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, next hour, we're going to take a break and get into some health issues. They may not, you know, a lot of times I get fired up on Wednesdays for some reason, and then I'm always kind of glad to get my health show. It brings my blood pressure down, kind of calms me down. I do something positive with my time on the air. But today is going to, even the next hour is a little aggravating to me. You need to tune in and listen to this if you're, because there's other draconian things that are coming down on this thing. Look, here's what I like, and I'm not always trying to explain why I'm a libertarian. It's just I know people take exception to that. They think that libertarianism is out there. Here's what I've gotten from libertarianism that I appreciate, from libertarian thinkers, not from myself, but they kind of taught me how to think. They taught me how to not be so short-sighted. See, too many people, particularly in the Republican side of things, it's both sides of the aisle, but Republicans are more similar to, you know, to my way of thinking. This short-sighted, you arm them up for the war on terror. You allow them to create all kinds of SWATs and all this other stuff for the war on terror and the war on drugs. And it turns out, see, libertarians have been warning about this for a while, it's turned out that they're using this equipment today, as we speak, for a war on American business owners. And if this thing's over... If we unlock and this coronavirus goes away and it's never to be heard from again, then maybe I was just a chicken little. I just don't think it is. And we need to stop being so short-sighted. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we do something a little different here. It's this one long, dedicated segment I have that I've been passionate about since the day I got on this radio show, and that is it's called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try desperately, week in and week out, to convince people you are in control of your health. I know, Mike, the pharmaceutical companies will save us all. Yeah, we've got to wait on them for a cure. No. My doctor's got to handle my health care. Your doctor's got 150 patients a day. He loves you, but he ain't got time to do all the work for you. You need to do it yourself. So we talk about nutritional strategies to improving your health, and hopefully it's empowering for people, particularly in a time like this. It should be. I start every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not an infectious disease doctor, not a cardiologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I'm not a nothing. I got no certification in anything. It's just 15 years of research opened my eyes to the capability of the average human being to give their body what's needed to operate well. And I'm 15 years now without a single sick day. I operate in the new coronavirus world with no fear and no trepidation. Also knowing that I could get it. It could catch me on a day where I haven't had enough sleep, or I forgot some of my supplementation, or it's just so bad that it gets me. I'm okay with that. That's life. I drive in the rain, too. You know what I do when I drive in the rain? I drive a little slower. I make sure I don't do anything with my phone. Got my seatbelt on. Really paying close attention, because I know it's a little bit more dangerous to drive when it's raining. And so I make the adjustments. And that's really how we should be going through this coronavirus thing, but they've taken that away from us and said, no, all decisions must be made at the bureaucratic and governmental level. I would think that at this point, people would care about their immune systems, but I see no evidence of it. As I'm in the grocery store, as I'm listening to mainstream media, as I'm listening to the endless advice to wash your hands and wear a mask, I hear nothing about the fact that your immune system is like a muscle, essentially, and to oversimplify it. And if you treat it right and work it out and give it what it needs to perform right, it works fantastic. The human body is such a miracle. It's amazing. You can cut yourself, and within a few days, that skin has grown back. You don't have to do anything. You might clean it to make sure it doesn't get infected, but just naturally, while you're sleeping, that skin is slowly creeping back together to create a fresh, new, uncut arm. These same processes are going on inside your body to repair all kinds of damage and to fight off foreign invaders. There's one immune booster that I've talked about on the show before, but in the time, I don't think I've talked about it since coronavirus is out there. And this is kind of one of my favorites. You can do your own research on this. I start to laugh because it is hard advice for anybody to take. But I like kind of biohack stuff. I've talked about it before. Cold showers. Do you know that cold showers improve the function of your immune system and also burn brown fat? There are a whole host, and go and do your own research. I wasn't really prepared for this. I jotted this on my notes right before I came back on air because it cracks me up. You can go see. There's a ton of research on cold showers. You'll see a lot of these really successful people, athletes that get into ice baths. Who is it? Tony Robbins has got this. He's got like this hole in his backyard. That super cold water or something. He just jumps straight down in it. I got to tell you that for a lot of high performers, they realize that really this cold Wim Hof, he's got some interesting stuff on YouTube about his doing, you know, breathing techniques, and he climbs like Mount Everest in shorts and no shirt. The human body is just so amazing. But cold showers, you look it up, it's good for your immune system and it's good for burning fat. Good all around. Pretty tough to do in the mornings. And let me give you a piece of advice. Should you try this? If you're getting up early in the morning to go to work or something and your kids are around, you may want to put a towel in your mouth or something, because I got to tell you, when I jump into my extremely cold shower every morning, There are expletives that fly. There's some screaming. There's some laughing. I can't get used to that first hit. I make loud noises to it. So just be aware. You may wake up people in your house, and your children may hear some words that are not appropriate for their age group when you first start doing this. Some people will do they'll get into a warm shower, and then for the last 30 seconds to a minute or something, they blast cold water. This is equally has some health benefits to it. I just take cold from start to end. It's much easier to do in the summer, I will admit. I get out of that during the winter. I'm not a big fan of the cold. I can't layer that kind of stress on myself. So by the time November, December roll around, I'm out of my cold showers. I'm taking some warm showers. But anyway, in the age of COVID-19, thought I'd float that out there. Do your own research. But cold showers, and again, burns fat, which brings me to my next point. We have a society, and I'm not anybody that shames anybody on any of their health stuff. Like, I don't like all of this over-medication of our kids on ADHD medication and depression medication. We've got all these toddlers on antidepressants and all that stuff. But I did subscribe to this stuff years and years ago. I've taken an antidepressant back in my 20s. Should never have taken it. I just was kind of in a rut in my life, and somebody else around me was taking it, so I said, oh, okay, well, I'll just try it. So I'm where everybody else was. I also have been overweight. I didn't think it was a lot. This is what your parents do to you. I got to tell you, it is so strange. Even as you become an adult, I have these conversations with friends of mine from time to time. Isn't it amazing that you can get into your 40s, 50s, even your 60s, and what your parents say still really kind of matters to you? And I'm not even sure why that is. My father lives in Mobile, Alabama right now. He's almost 90 years old. And unfortunately, he's had some brain injuries, so we don't have any real deep conversations. That's only been the last couple of years. But, you know, even when I was, approaching 50 years old, my father could say something to him, make me feel like a child at 49. It's very weird. But I will never forget. This scarred me. My father's not listening to the show right now, I don't assume. I was sitting out by the pool at his neighborhood pool one day. This was before I got into my health stuff. And I guess I had developed quite a gut in my early 30s. And he said, son, you look about obese. Never in my life had I ever come close to anyone considering me obese. But my father didn't have a problem saying that right out in front of everybody at the pool. And it did cause me to go, what the hell? What am I looking at? And then I go back and look at pictures of myself from that time period. And I was just substantially chubbier than I thought I was. I bring this point out to, number one, tell all of us parents out there, be careful what you say to your children, because unknowingly you could scar them for life. But outside of that, have you noticed when you start looking at the victims of this COVID-19 stuff? You see them coming out on stretchers. You see all the nurses applauding and everything. You see the kind of the in memoriams on the news channels. I got to tell you, most all of them are obese people. And so this is not a fat shaming show. I'm telling you right now, I've been overweight. A lot of people are, but at this particular time in history, probably pretty important to start taking care of yourself and your weight. Not only does it cause you a lot of chronic health problems day in and day out, and if you let it go unchecked, it shortens your life and makes your mobility worse. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I know there's a lot of people who know they've got some weight to lose, and their attitude is, as probably mine was too at some points, yeah, I know I need to, but I'm just so busy. Or, yeah, I know I need to, but I think I'm going to start on that. It doesn't even matter. Kind of like it's, yeah, I know, but... You need to get rid of the butts now, particularly in the black community. The black community has been hit by this virus. And again, I don't think it's gone. I don't think it's over. At least they're setting us up for the idea of a second wave and all kinds of stuff. Now is the time to start taking control of your health, and losing weight is one thing that people just need to do. Now it could literally be life or death. The thing is, I talked about this last week, we're so short-sighted. Everybody now is wearing gloves and a mask. They're so scared of this coronavirus, which is showing to kill such a minuscule amount of the population. But everybody's suddenly, They don't want to touch anybody. They don't want to go to somebody's house. They don't want to go out in public. They want to put all to protect their health. But when they do go to the store, they load their carts up with a bunch of garbage food, which is destroying your health. At the same time, you're acting like you're real concerned about it. It's kind of a weird thing. It's time for people to start really addressing any weight issues you've got. Could be life or death. And the thing is that kind of now, while there's this extra motivation, and I encourage you, if you don't believe me, they talk about obesity. There's a story in England right now. They're kind of rolling out what they're going to be doing going forward in the new normal that the health authorities are going to allow us to participate in. It says hot desking banned. I had to look that up. Do you know what hot desking is? I didn't know. It's actually kind of these communal workspaces where maybe you use a desk for part of the day and someone else comes in and uses the desk and these open air things. So this is England, hot desking banned, separate with screens, canteens closed. And that means, you know, like little kitchens and offices closed, and over 70s and the obese working from home under leaked plans to reopen offices that could remain in place for a year. Now, I don't know if this is going to come to the United States or not, but do you really want to be somebody that has to be stuck at your house? I mean, some of you might like working at home. That's fine. If that's the case, knock yourself out. Maybe you want to put on 40 or 50 pounds to not have to go into the office. But bottom line is, you should be able to make your own choices about whether or not you go into the office and not be quarantined. The obesity is a bad thing with this disease. It's bad for everything. It's bad for heart disease. It's bad for hypertension. And for the vast, vast majority of people, you are in absolute control of your weight. Even when they talk about, well, this person has a glandular issue, or genetically they're predisposed to be bigger. Look, even genetics, they're proving through epigenetics that it's what you do, the things that you consume, that turn these genes on or off. And there certainly are people who are, you know, big bone and to be bigger. But there's a big difference between just carrying extra weight by eating garbage food and your natural size. All kinds of people in different sizes. And look, please understand me, because this is, you know, we live in a society where everything is considered, you know, if you disagree with somebody of a different race, you're racist. If you disagree with somebody from another sex, you're sexist. If you say anything about people that are overweight, you're fat shaming. And not at all. I think the lack of people being able to address the weight issue, and particularly in central Mississippi, don't know if you've noticed, we're leading the world in obesity here. And that's a choice we've made, to lead the world in obesity. Poverty figures into it, but we are not forced to eat the garbage that we eat. But if the weight is called out, and then, you know, to the credit of health professionals, they will tell you, hey, you need to lose some weight. Your high blood pressure's up. Your bad cholesterol's up. You got a heart disease. You're getting diabetes. I mean, health professionals have been telling you this. But now, if you're so concerned, if you're going to put a mask and gloves on, it shows to me that there's this little kernel inside you that's actually concerned about your health. Well, take that little kernel, let that little spark light a fire under you and say, no more. And you can go back to listen to podcasts of these shows, or just go and look for natural approaches. Look, if you're trying to lose weight, don't get on artificial sweeteners and diet sodas. Ain't going to work. They cause you to gain weight. Yes, you heard that right. Diet sodas have been shown to increase weight because they make you crave carbs and other horrible foods. I used to drink diet sodas. Not judging anybody, but come on. How long have we been guzzling by the billions of gallons a day of diet sodas, and this country has just gotten fatter? I think we can lay that one to rest, right? Move on to things like teas. I drink coffee with some stevia in it in the morning, and the rest of the day is water. And I'm not unhappy. I love my life. I'm fine. It doesn't put me in a grumpy mood. You need to make these changes. Anyway, this obesity stuff is for real, and addressing it now, if you've got fear of COVID, if you want to live longer, if you're scared of this disease, take that little ember, that little spark of care about your health, and extrapolate it. Turn it into a raging fire that says, this is the year that I drop this weight. And if you need any natural approaches to it, you can find them online. And if you struggle with that, I will help you, send you to information from doctors, MDs, and naturopaths that I've followed to maintain healthy weight now for 15 years. I feel better, I operate better, and I don't get sick, and I'm not scared of COVID. So it's time to address the obesity stuff. And it may be time to have a tough conversation even with friends and loved ones. It's not an easy subject to broach. I feel kind of icky talking about it on the air right now. But, I mean, come on. Are we adults here or not? I'm watching the people that are carted out on hospital beds after a month in the hospital and on a ventilator, and almost all of them are obese. I'm looking at the pictures of the people that have passed away from coronavirus across the country where they do their little background stories about the tragic death of somebody, and most all of them are obese. And then I saw one woman yesterday, and she was rolled out of the hospital. She was obese. She'd been in the hospital for a month, and she's rolled out, and her children come up and hug her, which is just such a heartwarming story. But I couldn't help noticing that all of her children were terribly obese. This is not fat shaming. This is just saying it's time to get serious about getting our weight back in check and returning. There's a lot of states, a lot of countries that don't suffer the same problems we do. It's not that hard. It is really not that hard. It's a twist in your thinking to understand you have control of your health and you will feel so much better. As I say a lot of times, people have no idea what it feels like to feel good. Losing weight is one of the quickest ways to discover that. All right, we're going to move on to some other stuff. I've got clips from an interview from Robert Kennedy Jr. about what we're going through right now and the vaccine that's coming down the pike. Even if you are incredibly pro-vaccine, or if you are careful about vaccines, or if you're questioning, or if you just want to know more, get as much information as you can. I think these things are coming down the pike, and if nobody's educated about these things and we just blindly trust, the way we blindly trusted the lockdown, the way we are going to blindly trust all of the other measures that are going to come out dictated to us by our governments, I got to tell you, I'm going to draw the line at when they jab me with. I'm going to at least question it. And as I say, if they come out with a safe, effective vaccine that is not loaded up with mercury or aluminum or any of the other things that I think I don't want in my bloodstream, I'll take the thing. I think the chances of that are slim, but at least I'm going to be educated about it. And I'm going to seek to do that for you here, so stick around. Be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, Hump Day Health segment. Let me go ahead and get this out of the way. I'm not any anti-vaxxer. I don't think I know any anti-vaxxers. And I travel with a lot of people who want safe, effective vaccines. And when you really study this issue, look, if I step on a rusty nail tomorrow, you know what I do? I go get a tetanus shot pretty much immediately, right? Does that sound like an anti-vaxxer to you? My children are vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. I've traveled around the world and had a bunch of vaccinations for, you know, I went to South America, had to get some vaccines for going down there into the Amazon. But there is an interview out. I'm going to post this to my Facebook page later today. Meant to do it this morning. My apologies. There's a two-hour interview with Robert Kennedy Jr., who's been fighting this fight for safe, effective vaccines, for just testing. See, everybody assumes that, oh, our medical establishment would never inject something directly into our bloodstream that had not been thoroughly tested. Well, you'd be wrong. You'd be really wrong. And that's shocking to hear. Oh, Mike Madison, he's crazy. There's no way. No way. These things have not been tested. But there is a two-hour interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. where he's been studying this for 15 years, and he was reluctant to get into it. He tells you kind of how he got into this. Here's the saddest thing, is that he had meetings with Donald Trump during the transition, after Trump won, before he actually got into office, And Trump was going to kind of task him with really taking a good hard look at vaccines. And guess what happened when Donald Trump got into office? I guess somebody sat him down and said, hey, we don't need that Robert Kennedy Jr. hanging around here. And there's been absolutely no issues on surrounding this. I mean, there's thoughts that possibly Barron Trump has had an adverse reaction to a vaccine, which got Trump and or there are other people in Trump's life, I think, that he's had some personal experience with seeing some kids that were not the same after their vaccines. And so he was personally interested in it. But the money in this, it's a business. It is a business. How many pharmaceutical drugs have been taken off the market after massive problems? Vioxx killed, I believe, 500,000 people. So for those of you who say, well, they can't put a product like a vaccine on the market if it's not safe, you're just being an anti-vaxxer. Well, I ask you, how did Vioxx make it to the market? And the thing is, in the Vioxx lawsuits, if you go into the discovery and the Vioxx lawsuits and do any in-depth research of it, the company producing that, I think that was Merck. I don't want to implicate the wrong company on the Vioxx, but whoever it was, whichever company it was that put Vioxx out there, they knew. They knew that there were going to be problems. And do you know why they got sued so heavy on Vioxx? Because when you hear a pharmaceutical ad and they list off the, you know, bleeding out of your anus or your eyeballs may explode or you may spontaneously combust, you know, that long list of side effects. If they disclose those to you and you take it anyway, then they're covered. But with Vioxx, my understanding is they knew of some side effects and they just didn't want to list them because they were just too bad. But it took out 500,000 people. So you're going to have to excuse me. and Vioxx is not alone. There were all the FinFen lawsuits. There's been a Zantac just got pulled from the market. So you're going to have to excuse me if I do my own independent research as to the safety and efficacy of a drug from a pharmaceutical company when repeatedly they are fined billions of dollars and products are recalled from the market for killing hundreds of thousands of people. Do you know what the third leading cause of death in the United States is? I believe it's number three. Pharmaceutical drugs. And a lot of that is from proper use. I'm not talking about opioids that are abused and taken to excess. I'm talking about the proper use of pharmaceuticals as one of the leading causes of death in the United States. This is why I tell you, get out ahead of it. Just make yourself healthy so you don't rely on all of these pills. It's essentially Russian roulette. Particularly because when you're on six or seven or eight or nine different prescriptions, they can't test every combination of medications. I mean, I'll give them a little bit of a break at the FDA level on that. They can't say, okay, we need to test the effect of this, this, and this, and this, this, but not this, but then this other thing. I mean, they can't do every combination of every pharmaceutical out there. So you're playing Russian roulette on combining all of these different chemicals coursing through your system to address something that you probably could have addressed with nutrition. Which is the case I make. Anyway, all right, I'm going to be quiet. I got to take a break to make sure I get all these clips in. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to start listening. I got a lot of clips from this interview, but I really encourage people, if you're interested, because this vaccine's coming. A lot of you are excited about it. A lot of politicians and policymakers are going to try to convince us that it's the only way we can get back to a normal life is to inject this thing into our arm or buttocks. So I think it's time for American people to decide if this is what we want too. We know they want it. We know the pharmaceutical companies are going to want it. It'd be kind of nice to know if we actually, as human beings, should be excited about it. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here on WYAB. Hump Day Health, we're going to get into this interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. I'll post this to my Facebook page. I put about 25 minutes a year into my Facebook page, so I know I have no reach. Got to get better about that. But you don't need to wait on me to post it. This is titled on YouTube. It's Valuetainment. All one word, Valuetainment, RFK Jr. That will pull this thing up. It's 2 hours. It is fascinating. It's going to cover the politics. It's going to cover just about everything you need to know about vaccine programs in general and about the companies that are involved and their political connections, which is important if you want to be. Now, if you just want to take this thing because you're scared and, you know, your kids have never had any problems with vaccines, so anybody who says vaccines are potentially dangerous is just a nut, then go ahead and do it. You don't need to do your research. But if you're questioning, and it's so funny to me, as I've said many times, we strap helmets on our kids when they walk out the door, just about. Skateboard, helmet. Bike, helmet. Skates, helmet. Knee pads, shoulder pads. Elbow pads. Car seats. We go by and we tug on them, take them to the fire department, make sure the car seat's in there. We do all of these things with our kids, yet then we just walk in and people with no idea what's in this syringe, we just allow people to inject 72 doses of stuff we have no earthly idea what's in it into our children's bodies. That's a lot of faith. A lot of faith in a system that has not always done us quite right. So here's RFK. I've just got several clips of this I'm going to play. And again, I encourage you to watch the whole thing if you have such interest.
Social media sites like Google are intertwined and entangled financially with the pharmaceutical industry. Google has a $750 million deal with Glaxo. It's working with all the pharmaceutical companies to harvest data, to get people's medical data.
Now, what I want to interject this, as you hear these kinds of things, understand that most people who've got just tremendous faith, who just believe that the vaccination is always the best thing, it's just what we do, there's no problems with it, understand that the media is controlled. So all this information you're getting, unless you're doing any independent research, all of the information you're getting is from companies who are taking massive amounts of money from the companies providing, whether it's medications or vaccines. So if you don't see a conflict of interest in there, then that's fine. Go do your own thing. Not judging you. But if it sends off a little bit of an alarm bell and you go, huh, maybe they're, I mean, if you got a $750 million contract with a company, are you going to report honestly on them if they're not doing something well? Of course not.
Through Alexa, through Siri, through your cell phone.
Let me back that up a second. He's talking about them collecting health data on people, like basically unbeknownst to you.
Siri, through your cell phones when they're left on and the microphone is still working, and through your buying habits and monitoring those things. So they are in a partnership. Google actually is part of a larger company called Alphabet. And there are other subsidiaries of that company that actually manufacture vaccines. So Google actively censors it. When you do a Google search, it edits those search to make sure that you do not find the things that are the most common search subjects. It will direct you towards things. It will direct you away from anything that harms the pharmaceutical industry. It will direct you away from vitamins. It will direct you away from chiropractors. It will direct you away from functional health or integrative medicine or any kind of alternative to the allopathic, pharmaceutical paradigm.
And that's certainly something I can testify to. I've done natural health research for the last 15 years, and it's been pretty fascinating to see. Over the last 2 to 3 years now, much, much more difficult for me to find what was ranked very highly in any search terms. I search a lot of things, just natural treatment for
whatever I'm looking for. It's not typically for me. It's typically for a friend who's got a problem, and I'm told him, oh, I'll do a little research, see if I can help you with that. But the alternative articles are so far down in the search rankings now. Sometimes I give up. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't want to go to the 180th return on my search stuff. So that is definitely happening. Here is Robert Kennedy Jr. talking about a little bit about the CDC. Now, these are the godfathers of the advice that's coming down to us when it comes to the vaccination program.
Are never safety tested.
Let me back that up. I'm trying to run my clips slightly different than I used to. I used to cue them all up, and then sometimes I get lost in it, so I'm trying to pull them from links, and I'm kind of misfiring here. I'm going to have to go back to my old way.
Vaccines in our country, unlike other medicines, are never safety tested. People find that astonishing. The reason for that is an artifact of CDC's legacy as the Public Health Service. That was the predecessor agency to CDC. The Public Health Service was a quasi-military agency, which is why people at CDC still have military ranks, like Surgeon General, etc. And the vaccine program was initially launched as a national security defense against a biological attack on our country. So the regulators and the Pentagon wanted to make sure that if the Russians attacked us with anthrax or some other biological agent, they could quickly fabricate and deploy a vaccine to 200 million people without regulatory impediments. And so they said, if we call it a medicine, we're going to have to safety test it. And that usually takes 2 to 5 years. Let's call it something else. We'll call it a biologic. And then we will exempt biologics from having to do safety testing.
Isn't that interesting to get the history on the CDC and realize that their whole reason for being was that they were going to be there to respond quickly to any kind of an attack by the Russians or anybody else who attacks us with a biologic agent. And we've just seen them completely whiff and become completely unprepared from a virus that we had at least a 2 month. You know, they're saying if the Russians just arbitrarily launch something and we just suddenly have smallpox or anthrax here, the CDC was designed 50 years ago to jump into action and help us all. The coronavirus, they had 2 months. And they've had understanding of pandemics since their inception, and yet they still were unprepared. This just goes to my more libertarian side, which shows you the government is not good at anything it does, even when it's just tasked for one thing.
Let me say one other thing. You know, that my party, the Democratic Party, is the worst on this issue. And it's very odd to me that they're mandating these vaccines that are untested. How can you mandate any medication for a human being? How can you tell somebody, we are going to force you to take a medication that you don't want to take?
Amen.
And, you know, we signed a treaty, the Nuremberg Charter, after World War II, because the Nazis were doing that. They were testing vaccines on people and all these other medical treatments. And we said, that is a war crime. We don't do that to people. And we signed the Syracuse Protocols, the UN Charter of Human Rights, Alinsky Accords, the Nuremberg Charter, all of those saying them, you cannot give a medication to somebody against their will, even if the life of the nation is at stake. That's a quote.
So there you go. If you're a conservative, find out that the Democrats are actually worse on this issue. Now, he does, within the 2-hour interview, talk about how both parties, particularly at the national level, at the state level, Republicans are much better, except in Mississippi, for some reason, on allowing people some level of choice when it comes to vaccinations. In Mississippi, I don't know who's got pictures of who doing what, but we have one of the most oppressive anti-freedom, anti-free choice, free human being vaccination exemptions in the country. We are the worst. I think there's 2 states. We are one of 2 of the worst states, a Republican state. For some reason, they think we have all these freedoms that they pander to us with. Well, except when it comes to this, and we'll tell you. Now maybe you're questioning Mississippi health authorities on this lockdown, this ridiculous lockdown of our entire society based on the coronavirus. Now that you're questioning the health authorities, do you trust them on that they know better than you what's good for you or for your children when it comes to vaccines? I hope not. All right, I'm going to play some more of these clips. Got to take a quick break. We're going to finish up with Robert Kennedy Jr. on the other side of this break. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment here on the Mike Madison Show, Hump Day Health, listening to RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., talking about vaccines, CDC, media. One thing I don't think I got clipped, you have to see the whole video, but he talks about Fox News. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was good friends with Roger Ailes, you know, the big wig over at Fox News. And he did a documentary years ago, and he went to Roger Ailes back when Roger Ailes was alive, and he said, hey, you don't have to show the documentary, but can I come on your show, come on Fox News, and talk about the documentary? And Roger Ailes told him, and they were friends, he said no. He said, if I brought you on to talk about this, I would be fired, and whatever host interviews you on Fox News, I'd have to fire them too. Just so you know. That's the information age you live in. You have to seek out your own information. Let me see how many of these clips I can get before the end of the hour.
The same companies that are selling you that measles drug are now selling, and the hepatitis B and the DTaP and the HIV vaccines, and that vaccine is giving you seizures or epilepsy or autism or food allergies or asthma. That same company is now selling your child who is sick for life, albuterol inhalers, the COVID inhalers, the Adderall, the Ritalin, the Concerta, the anti-seizure medication, the diabetes drugs, the rheumatoid arthritis drugs. These companies are making $50 billion a year selling vaccines, mandatory vaccines. And then they're making $500 billion a year selling the treatments, the chronic diseases that are being caused by those vaccines. So there is not only no incentive for them to make it safe, there's actually an incentive for them to make those vaccines as dangerous as possible. They have monopoly control. There's no competition.
And he starts that segment off. I couldn't get the whole clip, but he starts that segment off talking about the rise of chronic disease within Americans since 1989, when these vaccine schedules just went off the charts. You can look at those, the research on that yourself as well.
Anderson Cooper is sponsored by Pfizer. Aaron Burnett is sponsored by Pfizer. The NBC Nightly News is sponsored by Merck. And Roger Ailes told me, Roger Ailes, who I knew very well, and it was the founder of Fox News. I didn't agree with him politically, but we were friends. We spent a couple of months together in a tent. I was 18 years old in Africa, and I had this, you know, good relationship with him. And he understood the issue of vaccine injury. He had a personal experience with vaccine injury, where a kid who was close to him was injured. And so he knew it was true. And I helped make a film, a documentary about it a couple of years before he died, when he was still at the height of his powers. And I asked him, you know, can I come on? I didn't want to play it on Fox, but I wanted to come on Fox and talk about it. And he said, I can't let you do that. And he said, in fact, if any of my hosts allowed you on their show, I'd have to fire them. And if I didn't, I would get a call from Rupert within 10 minutes. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox, also owns one of the biggest vaccine companies in the world. and has been one of the big promoters of it. But he, but what Roger told me then, he said during non-election years, during certain parts of the year, 70% of our advertising revenue for evening news shows is coming from pharma. And he said, typically there's about 22 ads on an evening news and 17 of those are pharmaceutical ads. And that's why you see this, these aggressive promotions of vaccines all the time. You're constantly being told it's flu season, get your vaccine, because they're selling the products, not just during the advertising section of the show, but they're selling the products during the entire show.
And that's one of those interesting ones. You start watching it and start listening to Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show doing all the stories about the promising new vaccines and then realize that the companies that are doing them are their big major advertisers. It should make you go, huh?
The genuflecting to Anthony Fauci, who has a very well-documented and very checkered history of telling the truth, of not telling the truth, of abusing his power.
Now, he's talking about Anthony Fauci, the godfather of the American lockdown, the American timeout.
And of, you know, resulting and of doing really sinister things like hiding the leukemia virus that is known to be in three of our large vaccines that we know causes cancer. And he's hidden that from the American people. He fired the number one scientist at NIH when her study showed that those vaccines were contaminated. And he also, he was, Judy Mikovits, who worked for the agency, was on the team that identified the HIV vaccine, or HIV virus, and connected it to AIDS. And he kept that secret for 6 months, so that he could get one of his cronies to make the publication. But that resulted in many, many people getting AIDS because the test was delayed by 6 months. Those things are really black spots on Tony Fauci's record. And to turn our entire nation over to Tony Fauci with this unquestioned reverence and the constant, genuflecting to him, I think is something that is not healthy for our country. And it's really kind of sickening to see, to watch the news division. These people are supposed to be reporters, doing the exact same thing that they did during the Iraq war, which is that, what reporters are not supposed to, take the word of government officials.
All right, one last one. Let's see if we got time for this last clip here.
He has a bias towards vaccines, and he owns the vaccine, so he has the patents. He literally owns vaccine patents.
Is it purely profit? Motivation is purely profit?
Well, no, I think it's power, and I think the same is true of the Gates. Both of them actually stand to make huge amounts of money. Potentially billions and billions of dollars. But I don't believe, it's very hard to look into another man's brain, and I try not to do that. But just looking at them, I really believe that their motivation is more about power, and there is...
All right, I'm about running out of time. That's all the time I got today. Again, that is RFK Jr. on Valuetainment. You can find the whole interview on YouTube. For now, anyway, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.